Blog Talk Radio.
Ulysses Simpson Grant, who was born in Ohio and in the year 1822. Interesting day, 22nd. he was stationed in Washington State, or it was a territory at the time, and a place called Fort Vancouver, Washington. There is a Vancouver, Washington. It's a lot of confusion between Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and Vancouver, Washington. If you ever in Portland, just go across the bridge. It's a beautiful fort, well preserved, and of course it's supposed to be haunted. We did some video up there, and so it'll be up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. A lot of deaths today, or a couple of other deaths. William Colby, who was in the CIA, part of the Americans, as I've said, never understood, or the majority of them don't understand the espionage business, and it's dirty, the things you can't talk about. I have a familiarity with it, let's put it that way. Anyway, it's when I was in going to Australia as a correspondent, when I landed, I had to do a radio show with a Australian official, and he asked me, "Are you the new CIA agent on station?" And I said, "If I was, or if I were, I wouldn't be flying coach. I'd be in first cabin." So he got the hint. Anyway, that's kind of the fun. And of course, this is an interesting thing. Journalists are also always suspected of being working the intelligence field. It just comes with the territory, so it's something that a lot of people don't know. And some journalists have done espionage work, and of course have been caught, and it's been an embarrassment, but it's something that has to be done, and it's something that people should accept. It goes with the territory. This is important to the Philippines. The rebels there just beheaded a Canadian. I don't know why, but there is a big Muslim group in the Philippines. I think they're called the Moros, if I'm not mistaken. Well, anyway, on this date, Ferdinand Magellan, who went out to the Pacific to conquer that for Spain back in the 15th century, when he landed, not long after he landed, he was killed by the cannibals. And, of course, there is a street here in San Francisco called Lapu-Lapu, and that's the guy that was the chieftain who was responsible for Ferdinand Magellan's death and ended up where he ended up in a cooking pot for the Filipinos, cannibals. Another death today, Hart Crane was a writer back in the 30s. He was gay. Maybe it troubled him. But anyway, he was on a ship and he was sailing someplace and he jumped off the ship, committing suicide by jumping off the ship while he was sailing in the ocean. Among the other things today, Hillary Clinton yesterday has unveiled her women's agenda, in which she supposedly said half of her cabinet, if she gets elected president, will be women. Of course, that's a lot of presumption. And, of course, coming up on Friday, April 29th, we will have our Midwest correspondent, Patrick Butler, who's had over 50 years experience as a political, a real journalist. He's very familiar with a lot of politicians. He knows where some of the bodies are buried, who buried them, why they're buried, and who may be next. Anyway, we'll be doing a post-mortem on the primaries of Tuesday, yesterday, and be talking about upcoming elections in the state of Midwest, such as Illinois and Wisconsin. And, of course, the sentencing of former Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, Dennis Hashert, who is also from Illinois, and who got arrested and tried and convicted yesterday of bribing boys that he had molested when he was not in Congress, but he did this while he was a congressman. Hush money. Now, we hear about women. There was a woman back around post-Civil War who ran for president, and of course she didn't have any of the baggage that Hillary Clinton has. But when usually during the 50s, whenever they talked about a woman becoming president, they mentioned Senator Margaret Chase Smith, who was she succeeded her husband, who died, and she was from Maine, and she was what I would call a moderate conservative Republican. Here's a little audio extract from our archives.
Senator Smith, I assume that you believe the Republican candidate is going to win, but I wonder what you think the chances are of his taking a Republican House and Senate with him in view of the results in your own state.
Yes, I do believe that President Eisenhower will win by a good vote. I wouldn't venture a guess on the House and Senate, Mr. Sylvester. Maine was a little different. We had a very popular Democratic governor who was running for re-election. And there were several other reasons why Maine went it as did, but it will go for Eisenhower.
And the campaign seems to have come alive suddenly with the war in the Middle East. And I would like to ask you whether or not you think the American leadership could have prevented that war in the Middle East. I'd like for you to answer that first, then.
Mr. Lisiger, I think, no, I don't believe it could have.
Now, of course, that was back during the 50s when Eisenhower first ran in 1952. I was a child, and I vaguely remember Eisenhower running, but being driven by. He was standing up, and he was in a car, and he was campaigning for president of the United States. Nixon wasn't with him, and of course, he ran again in in 1956. He ran successfully again against Adlai Stevenson, the governor of Illinois, was a great governor and somebody that I was acquainted with when I worked in downtown Chicago many years ago. And, of course, he was a great man. In fact, I grew up not far from where he lived in Libertyville, Illinois. And Adlai. So we're going to play a little clip from him. Also, now we've been doing some research along with others on the single-use toilet issue. For nearly 20 years, we've had them here in San Francisco, and they're on the street, and they're nicknamed Jordan Johns because Mayor Frank Jordan started having these toilets installed on the street. Deco, a French company, has the contract to clean them every day. We acquired some video, and we'll put that up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas YouTube. And it's quite interesting, this phony issue about people going to the toilet. Here, what are you going to do? We're going to have separate transgender toilets for transgenders. Trump is right. The expense of that is just prohibitive. Small business is under assault by being overregulated by these leftists, so-called progressives, a.k.a. closet communists, who are strapping them with all kinds of regulations. And small business is the backbone of the United States. And of course, these people who write the regulations and the lobbyists and all that, most of them never had a real job. They've been in the public trough for most of their life. So here we're going to give a little clip on Adlai Stevenson, who was the Democratic presidential candidate in 1956.
I have not sought the honor you have done me. I would not seek your nomination.
Okay, that's Adlai Stevenson, who was the governor of Illinois one term. And a lot of people don't know this, but Richard Daley, the later mayor of Chicago, Daley had a degree in accounting, and he went to Knight Law School. I think it was DePaul University. Anyway, Richard Daley the first was the finance director for the Adlai Stevenson gubernatorial management of Illinois. And Daley kept his nose clean. This is what I was told. Here's Adlai Stevenson talking about the high cost of living. It was relevant back in 1956, and it sure as hell is relevant now.
That's my daughter-in-law, Nancy, and my oldest son, Adlai Jr. He's a student at law school. I think they're staying with me during the vacation. I think they live pretty well, but they're learning a lot about something that worries a lot of people in this country, and that, of course, is the high cost of living. In spite of the Eisenhower promise, the cost of living today is higher than it's ever been before in the history of our country. And this is a serious matter for young people, like my son Adlai and his bride Nancy.
That was relevant in 1956, and that sure as hell is relevant in 2016, and that was nearly 70 years ago. And it's even worse now with these yuppies and these mysterious fires in apartment buildings which house low-income people, and also legal and also illegal aliens. And what happens is there's these mysterious fires all over San Francisco, in this one area of San Francisco where yuppies want to live. And a lot of people don't know the term Greek fire. Greek fire originated back in ancient times when it was a weapon used by the Greeks of tar, which they lit and had ignited when it hit a enemy ship, usually the Persians. In the Midwest, Greek fire is the term used when there's a mysterious fire at a restaurant or a building where the owner or whoever is the management company is in trouble, either financially or they want to illegally collect insurance money, fire insurance money. I had to do some investigations years ago on a couple of these cases. But we suspect this is what's happening here in San Francisco. And, of course, one building's had three fires. Can you believe that? In less than a year, one fire damaged it, and another fire it did more damage, and there's a third fire. So it's really suspicious. We're going to end early. I'm losing my voice. Also, the Chicago Tribune, which was owned by the McCormick family, which went back to Cyrus McCormick, the inventor of the Reaper, and, of course, one of the founders of the Chicago Tribune was a guy from Nova Scotia, Canada. Then the Tribune was bought out by the Los Angeles Times, which was a southern family that came to L.A. Turn of the century, and the Chandler family, and owned the Los Angeles Times, which was a very conservative newspaper down there, and that was they purchased the Tribune, or the Tribune purchased them. Anyway, there have been all these back and forth purchases, so so let's see what happens with the Tribune this time. Now, we're going to, in our political animals, historical archives, we have several clips, historical clips of presidential candidates and relevant archival historical speeches, excerpts, not the whole speech. So we will be back Friday, a special program at 2 p.m., and Patrick Butler will give us his take on what I call the postmortem political primaries in the Midwest, and what he sees November 2016. Of course, Hillary Clinton is from Park Ridge, Illinois. A lot of people look at her as a political migrant who went to Arkansas when she married Bill Clinton, and then she migrated to New York and somehow got herself elected senator. I don't know how she got away with it. There's also another scandal when the New York Post published that people connected to Hillary Clinton, a election official in I think the Bronx or one of those boroughs in New York, reportedly scratched or eliminated over 100,000 voters who were pro Sanders. We don't know if this is just the tip of a very dirty iceberg. Political fraud in the election process is nothing new. And of course, coming from Illinois, she ought to know about some of the things that went on in Illinois. And Park Ridge is in Cook County, by the way. It's between Des Plaines and Chicago. And of course, it's an interesting town. It had a whites-only, what they call restricted covenants in real estate documents, and for years they discriminated against ethnic minorities, especially blacks. And of course, you couldn't use the public swimming pool if you were quote Negro. That was the term used then. And our school, we had blacks who could not go to use their pool. Everybody else could, even Jews. We had, I think, one Jewish kid, and we had one kid whose father, at least one that I know about, his father was connected to the Capone Mafia. And of course, we had a couple who were connected, their families were connected to the Irish mafia of Bugs Moran. Interesting people that I grew up with. Anyway, we will end with our usual politics and poker. And we'll be back Friday at Pacific Standard Time and a special 2 p.m. for Patrick. So here's our usual politics and poker, and let's see what happens in Cleveland. Of course, the joke is today when you talk about brokered conventions, you usually think of smoke-filled rooms. Well, given the proclivities of some of these political operatives, the smoke today wouldn't be cigars or pipes. It would be marijuana and maybe snorting cocaine. But we'll end anyway with politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clap?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight. Possible.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where's the call of duck?
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Tariff raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trades, good as gold.
I'll stay.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay. gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyushinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Brazil, and I forgot to mention today is Confederate Memorial Day, and it's still celebrated in Alabama, Florida, and Mississippi. Let's hope they don't try to whitewash this out of the history books and things that we should recognize that this is part of American history, even though it was one of the bloodiest wars in world history. So we'll be back Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with a special program with Patrick Butler. Good night. Stay safe.